This is Spirit Network Radio, a BBS radio production hosted by renowned clairvoyant medium Francine Milano. Spirit Network is committed to the dawning age of enlightenment, from the psychic to the holistic. If it's on the mind, body, and spirit, it's on Spirit Network.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Network. I'm your host, Francine Milano, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you. Today's show is brought to you in part by Intuitive Consultants of Lancaster, PA. John and Maggie provide hypnotherapy, past life regression, and clairvoyant readings. They also offer controlled remote viewing, a proven tool to help find lost objects and pets. Many of their services are available online worldwide, so visit their website at www.intuitiveconsultants.net or call them at 717-340-2121. Now, if you'd like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, we have many advertising options. Our shows are not just live, but they're archived on the BBS website, and the podcast is available on iTunes, so your message plays on and on to reach many people long after the broadcast. Simply email radio@spiritnetwork.com for details. Now, today is truly a variety show. We're going to have some open discussions about anything and everything, and so my special guest today could be you. If you'd like to be on the show and talk about anything or share a cool story, call the studio at toll-free at 888-627-6008. Now, to give you some topic ideas, we could talk about reincarnation, the paranormal, hands-on healing techniques, psychic development, karma, soul groups, soulmates, just about anything. So if anything just popped up into your mind, if you got inspired, the number again to call is 888-627-6008. Now, if you're shy, you can also enter a question into the email bag. So if you have a question about any mind, body, spirit topics, just email me at radio@spiritnetwork.com. And please note, I am not reading this evening, not offering readings, so don't put me to work. We'll do that for another show. All right, so for today, I'll pick a topic, you'll pick a topic, I'll pick a topic, and you'll pick a topic. And if it all goes well, we'll call the episode Open Mic Night. Otherwise, we'll call it Francine's ADD, not a problem. So while we wait for these phone lines to light up, let me share a few things with you. I love having guests, but they're also interesting that I rarely get to talk to you about what's going on with me or just to be silly. So I don't mind, but since I got roped into this random facts game on Facebook recently, and as Facebook trends go, I thought this one was great because I learned a lot about my friends, and I thought I already knew that I thought I already knew, but it turned out some of them didn't even know me at all. So what I'm going to do is share some random facts about me. I got assigned number 11. So here we go. 11 random facts about me. And we'll see if any of them shock and surprise you. But I love living in Lancaster, PA, but I am a proud Jersey girl. I actually turned in my big hair license about 10 years ago, I guess. And let's see, at number two, at age 21, I started a water ice business from the back of a golf cart. True story. Number three, I moved 18 times since I was born. Ugh, I'm exhausted. Number four, I used to have a sailboat and actually sailed with my then companion from Atlantic City to the west coast of Florida. So that was a real interesting era of my life, and it's very freeing to sail and enjoy those sunsets. Number five, I don't know anyone else who survived the same cancer I have. I don't know that many people actually know that I'm a cancer survivor, but I am. It's an extra ovarian cancer called peritoneal cancer, and I am actually going to be 10 years in remission in February, so I will definitely have something to celebrate then. Also, number six, I took cosmetology in high school to be a mortician's beautician. That's right. That was on the docket. Number seven, I ended up working with dead people anyway. Ba-doom, boom. I need sound effects, Doug. Number eight, I've been out of the country 6 times. Number nine, I'm a minister, and I earned that the traditional way, but I no longer serve the church, and that was in New Jersey. And number 10, I don't care for pickled anything. Number 11, I am writing my second book, finally, but it's not moving nearly as fast as I had hoped. We had a big delay, but I'm hoping that it will be available this spring. Okay, so I'll offer a little bit more of a little bit more later, but I see we do have a call, so let's take that. Christy is on line one. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, very, very good. Now, I talked to you, yesterday or a couple days ago, right?
Yeah.
Are you the same Christy, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you had wanted to talk about loved ones who actually crossed over, or about them after, what happens after they cross.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was your specific question to me? Was it something
specifically? Do they get a sense of knowing after they cross over, like about us, like, you know, what has happened to us? I mean, does things make sense to them? Or do they not know any more about us than they did when they left?
Okay. Well, yeah, I can understand that. So you're not really worried about, like, when you get into the shower or anything, right? That they're watching.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, it is my understanding that all of the family skeletons do come out of the closet when they cross, because there's a new perspective now. So any secrets that were there are definitely available now to them, except that it's definitely different, because it doesn't mean that they're going to react to the truth like they would have done when they were in their bodies, because the bodies are made up of, like, weird chemistry and hormones that, you know, we unzip the human coat when we go home. It's a whole different ballgame. And they also have a more of a bird's eye view of our life. They know, like, if we were like, rats in the maze, they know when we're going to hit a wall, you know? So they have this bird's eye view, and that helps me actually in my readings, because a lot of times the warnings I get, sometimes they're not really coming from spirit guides. You know, that a lot of times a loved one who's really strong will come in and lead the reading, you know, so they watch over us as much as they can, but they do know what's going on. So there are things that people don't tell other people, maybe to protect them. And I have run into this numerous times, you know, and a lot of times at my reading table, someone will ask me, you know, well, does so-and-so know what happened here and there, and how do they feel about that? And absolutely, but their reaction is very different than maybe they thought it would have been. You know what, does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you have any specific situations that you were thinking of?
Well, I really was thinking as far as in, like, even in my own life, you know, some traumatic things that have happened, and, you know, without ever talking about it, just if they would know and would understand.
Understand, right, yeah. Well, you know, and I would, yeah, and sometimes it's like we're embarrassed to tell, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of embarrassed to tell them before they've crossed. And it's like, okay, oops, cat's out of the bag. But I think in heaven, you know, we're home. I mean, we're all pure spirit. We don't have that same judgmental. We don't have that upset the way we have here, the way we react. So I think that the thinking process there is much clearer. And the other thing is, regardless of what it is, I'm not going to ask you to share it, but because we all have this something, you know what I mean? But I think that they also get to see your karmic path that they couldn't have seen here. You know, that kind of just like that maze I'm mentioning, you know, they can see why things unfolded the way they did. And it may not be anything of your fault or somebody else's fault. This was just a juncture that you actually agreed to before you were born.
Right.
And it was a challenge. It was a pushpin on your life map. But they may or may not have had anything to do with it. And the other thing is that they did have something to do with it, and it was a conflict. You know, and all fences have to be mended. You know, and if that's relevant to your situation or not, I'm not sure. But all fences have to be mended. Yeah, when we get home, you know, we do talk about it. You know, what was that about? Whatever. But it's all good. It's all good. They do know. And then sometimes we regret having told people, you know. That's why they always say, like, never leave things unsaid, you know. But then there's other conversations that just really aren't meant to be on the earth plane. Okay. You know what I mean?
Great. Yeah. So as we get the learning from, you know, whatever we've agreed to before we came here, as we get that, I mean, they may have already known that just being there. But then as we get to understand, oh, okay, I see, you know, maybe why these things have happened.
Right. So I think that they get to see the life agreements that we totally were brainwashed when we came down here. We definitely agreed to these things, but we're not supposed to know it on a conscious level what it was. So they get to kind of peek at your Akashic records and the soul chart that you left behind, and they can look at it and go, oh, okay, I see that. But there's not a lot of emotion attached to it.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I'm sure it wasn't something you like need protection over now. It's just, it was what it was. So, you know, hold back on your regrets because you may not have any when you get there in the regards that, you know, we're talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, I'm glad you got me. Okay.
Christy, right.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Have a good night. Bye. Okay, and while we're here, I'm going to ask that Amber is on line 3. Amber, are you there? Amber? Hello? Okay, Amber, maybe we can get back to her. Amber, okay, I hear something. Oh, okay. Not a problem.
I can't really hear.
Amber? Oh, she can't hear me. Doug, she can't hear me.
Oh, I can't. Francine?
Yes, Amber?
Hello? Hi, Francine, it's Amber.
Hi.
Yes.
How are you?
How are you? I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing very good, thanks. Now, do you have a question, and what topic do you want to talk about?
Well, I have one question, and it was in regards to the last time you were at Amanda's studio. And I was talking to Amanda today, so it's kind of a question from the both of us, that you briefly touched base on exit points, and you said it was in reference to our friend's husband that passed away kind of abruptly, and we were kind of curious what you meant with when there was like kind of holes, like an exit point.
Okay, sure, no problem. Okay, so let's say we're up, we have these life agreements as I was just talking about, and let's say somebody rolls the parchment out and says, well, it looks like you're due to come home again when you're about 93 in Earth years. However, there are these exit points that are early exits that are optional. Now, not to say that you're choosing to come home early, but let's say in 1997, you're going to be at a party, and if you drink too much and you get in that car, you know, you could end up coming home early. So that's one example. These are all tied into karmic lessons. Okay, because even though death sounds like, oh my gosh, that's such an extreme life lesson, the fact is that it's this little play that we're acting out. Death really isn't what we grieve. You know, we really grieve hard. Obviously, mourning is very difficult, But when we get home, we look back and go, oh, you know, that was nothing. That's why we agree to all this weird stuff. It's like, because it's so much easier to agree that you're going to, like, you know, starve in the desert than when we really, you know, come here to do it. It's like, what the heck did I sign up for? You know? So, so that I think that there are early exits available on pretty much every life map. And, but I think it just depends on what your requirements are and what your life lessons, why did you come here? You came here for much different reasons, for instance, than I came here for. So it's very individualized. Yeah. That's why we each have our own little parchment, you know, and I want you to look at it kind of like a flow chart. So every free will decision could alter the map a little bit, but there are certain push pins on the mat that are just like constants, which means your spirit guides will get you to the right place at the right time for the right opportunity. And that's their job. But where you go between push pin to push pin is absolutely up to you. I mean, nobody's going to say at a certain date, you're going to put your hand in a bonfire and burn it. You know, if you were dumb enough to do that, then that was the consequence. You know what I mean? So sometimes there's a oops on the map. It's, you know, and if it's not an early exit point, just to go a little further, that's really what our guardian angels are, and they're a little different than spirit guides. So the guardian angels are to actually make sure that you don't get on that plane that's due to go down. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's why people, you hear all those stories about the World Trade Center and how people missed that last train. Yes. You know, or how they didn't make their appointment because they weren't supposed to be there. And I hate to say, so many thousands of people could have actually agreed. Some of them might have been their exit point. Some of them might have been an early exit point. I mean, and it's a sad fact, but every single one of us have our own flow chart and our own reasoning. You know, so this person that passed had some kind of a karmic agreement that we totally will not understand until we get home. And then we can go, oh, okay, I get it.
You know what I mean? Yes.
Well, I hope that helps your curiosity.
Yeah, no, we're curious. We were talking about it today, and I was like, I'm gonna call and ask. So
awesome. Well, awesome. Thank thanks, Amber, and tell Manda I said hi.
I sure will. All right. You take care. Thank you.
Have a good night. All right. Bye bye.
You too. Bye bye.
Okay. So, what I think I'm going to do is my turn to pick a topic. I'm going to offer a bit more information. Now, for some not-so-random facts I want to share with you is that I am a clairvoyant medium with a practice in Leola, Pennsylvania. I offer mediumship and intuitive readings. I do offer readings in person, on the phone, by Skype, for 30 or 60 minutes. And for people on a budget, totally understand that, or if you only have one or two questions about specific situations, you may want to consider ordering an email reading, and you can do that on my website at franciemilano.com. They're very affordable, and actually two questions, just $14. I also facilitate many workshops and events in the winter months. Coming up in January, I am offering a workshop called Clearing Your Space. Now, that's for getting rid of negative energy of 2013 and making room for the new year ahead and a fresh start. So, that's another topic idea for you to call in about. We have to deal with negative situations all the time, but once they're over, are they really over? Nope. There's definitely a stench in the air. So we have to get that out of the way, and it can continue to affect your life, especially if you're a very sensitive person. So I'm also going to be in Lititz, Pennsylvania for a gallery event in January. I did that last year. It was a lot of fun. You can come out and join me for an evening of messages from loved ones from the other side. And seating is limited to 40 people. So there's a good chance you will get a message. But even if you don't, it's a very healing experience for everyone. But because the seating is limited, you might want to get on my website and get your tickets. Now, let's see. One more event I have going on in January is my signature half-day workshop, and it's called Opening Up Your Intuitive Side. And it doesn't mean that you'll be psychic by the end, but who knows? If nothing else, you're going to definitely learn a lot about listening to your inner voice, and that's the part of us that, unfortunately, we ignore the most. This workshop is based on classes that I actually took myself so many years ago for development, and for the more serious student, I actually do offer private mentoring, which you can find under services on my website menu at the top. So for more details on these workshops, go to my website at francinemilano.com. And that's FranceMilano, just like the cookie, .com. And click on the events calendar at the top. Many people ask if I travel, and I don't do parties, but I will travel for gallery events and workshops for private groups. Everything really just depends on how far and how many people. Sometimes, just like in the last call, she was talking about Manda's place, I will come for the weekend, and if you can host a few different events and I can add some private readings along the way, then you can look for that information on my website or feel free to contact me. Okay, so we are waiting for another call, but I think I'm going to go ahead and give you some tips first while we're waiting. So a new topic, let's see. Now, I want to give you the best tips for raising your own awareness in order to listen to that little voice inside of you, because I do get so many questions about what exactly they can do or you can do to sort of raise that awareness and get your own messages. Now, it does take a long time. It's not like I woke up one morning and say, oh, I think I'm going to be a psychic reader. Didn't quite happen that way. But with little patience and practice, it's possible. Everybody can do this. But what I need to say is not everybody wants to hear this. It's all about meditation. So a lot of people think when I ask them to get down and give me push-ups when I say that. And I get that. I mean, a lot of people say, I just can't do that. But it's very rare when somebody can successfully meditate the first time, or maybe the first three times. So anyone listening now who regularly meditates, they know what I'm talking about. So a lot of people do give up a little too early, but everybody can do this. And it's just that we're all in different places in life. And there are a lot of common blockages in your life. I mean, if your life is blessed with riches and little worry, and your biggest problem is where you're going to go shopping today, well, chances are pretty good you could meditate very easily. You know, you don't have a lot of distractions. But you know what? If you've got a lot of stuff going on, and you're a soccer mom, or you have constant distracting thoughts, such as to keep up with your life, like, did I take the meat out of the freezer last night? Well, then chances are that your head's not going to be there. So that's the little blabber, I call it. Let's take a look at this. What's the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning? You look at the clock, right? Even before your feet hit the floor, you're thinking, what day is it? What time is it? Where do I need to be today? You know, what's the schedule? Your blabber's already making your schedule out. It's like your little personal assistant. You know, what time do I need to leave? Let me think backwards in the clock and see how long I have before I have to go, and how much coffee can I get before my shower. So the blabber, it just narrates your whole life. And that really has nothing to do with your spirituality. That's the human part of you. And that's really become such a focus. We don't always make room for the rest. The blabber's been narrating your life from day one, you know, and it asks you all the time, was that a good movie? How was dinner? It narrates and judges. It weighs and measures. You know, oh, she really is wearing those shoes with that dress? Okay, come on, we do that. But, you know, maybe some of us do it when it's really obvious. This blabber lives in the left brain for the most part, but sometimes it controls the right brain as well. So men may not be judging a woman by her shoes, but they do favor the logic of the left brain. And I think it would be harder for them to shut it off sometimes, because that blabber is often a lot of logic and facts, at least to what we perceive logic and facts to be, because we all have a different logic legend, you know, so to speak. So the blabber can be cynical. It can be mistrusting. I mean, the blabber doesn't even trust you. It creates self-doubt. Is that the right decision? Should I have done that? It's also negative sometimes. And all that negative dialogue, you suck, you suck, you suck, you know, when coupled with your emotional side, it can play with your self-esteem. And I'm not going to go on to another topic right now, but depending on how that plays out for each of us, can come really right down to the type of childhood we had. So if dysfunction is now that norm, then these barriers are very common. We all have different types of thought patterns, but for a big majority of us, they are negative. You know, we need to work on that. We need to break those barriers down so we can uncover the spiritual self and that one that seems to be walled up, you know. So practice, 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 you know. Give yourself at least 5 tries, I would say, before you think of taking a break. I wouldn't say giving up, just take a break. So here's my tips for successful meditation, because you may not be at that place this week to start, but you want to first be sure you're in a quiet place where you won't be disturbed. Dim the lights or candles are also helpful to create a peaceful environment. If you tend to fall asleep, you know, because you work a lot of hours or something, well, then try to do it in the morning and don't do it in your bed. I find it's helpful for some people if they do it like when they wake up in the morning and they know how they have to go to work. So they're not going to go to sleep. But hopefully they're able to push away the things they have scheduled for the day too. So you do have to, you know, it's going to be different for everybody. So it's very important that you're mindful so that when the blabber starts a dialogue, like, you know, what are we doing this for? You know, tell it to shush, to be quiet. You do have the control. It's just that we have not been listening to it. You know, we just think it's part of us, and it is, but we can segregate it. We can detach from it. And you do have the control. It's just that we've let it run amok for so long. You know, you've never really tamed it. So it's like an undisciplined child. And the child is like, what are you talking about? You never did this to me before. So like any child, it just takes training. It takes a long time. Now, another thing is, you don't want to meditate on a full tummy. And you don't want to meditate on an empty tummy. Because the body is really focused on digestion. And while you're trying to pull the mind, body, and spirit together in alignment, that may not work very well. And for the same reason, when you're upset or something, your mind will not cooperate. However, even if you don't completely go out, an attempt while you're feeling these things might actually just ease your emotions. So it's still not a bad idea to do it. Don't expect much, but giving a little meditation is going to offer a little bit better clear thinking and calm you down when you're upset. Okay, so there's plenty more tips for successful meditation. But the last one I'm going to mention is to do a guided meditation where you can listen to someone else's voice and not have to worry about what to do. I mean, just follow the voice and let it lead you to the center spot of peace. A lot of people just say, well, I'm staring at a candle and I'm not really sure what to think. What am I supposed to be thinking? Well, don't think about anything. Just do what the voice says. And it takes a lot of that pressure off of you. Okay. So if anybody has more questions or any questions about meditation, you know, please give us a call. All right. And let's see, we do have another caller, but before we take that, I just want to remind you that, let's see, if you do want to call in, that number again is toll free, 888-627-6008. Okay, now, we do have another call. On line one, we have Mary. Hey, Mary, Hello. Are you there? Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, Francine, I sent you an email about a rather bizarre dream that I had years ago, and I'm interested as to your take on dreams, whether they can foreshadow something that's going to happen in our lives, mm-hmm. or in some way protect us from something bad that might happen.
Well, Mary, one of my favorite workshops teaching is dreams, and I do that sometimes in the winter. But it's one of my, and I only teach the subjects that actually fascinate me. So I always love to talk about dreams. And you're right, they can actually foretell the future. They can be messages from loved ones, and they can be messages from spirit guides. They also are designed, at least according to science, to actually process what's going on in your life of the day. I mean, no, sometimes we don't deal with stress very well. So sometimes they will come out in dreams. You know, and then there's people say, well, I don't dream. Well, everybody dreams, and the science has proven that. However, not everybody remembers those dreams. Now, to really examine your dream, or have you already done that, can you share that with us, by the way?
Sure. Now, I'm just going to say it briefly.
Go ahead.
In my dream, I fell asleep on the sofa, which I often did. My husband worked shift work before we retired. I fell asleep. In the dream, I was awakened by chanting.
Okay.
I have no idea what the chanting was, what they were saying. I got up, looked out the window. There's a teenage girl. There's a teenage boy. They had lit candles in a circle around my house, the total exterior of my house, and they're chanting. At that point, I have a gold cross necklace, which I've never owned one. I had that, I held it up, and I said, leave me alone, leave me alone. I believe in Jesus Christ. Leave me alone in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And as I awake, the side door, the knob on my side door to my house, closest to the sofa, that I was asleep on, it's rattling. Well, I wake up from the dream, and I am just scared to death. I walk into the kitchen, have to hold on to the kitchen counter, because I'm shaking so bad.
I would have been scared, too. So what were they wearing? Do you remember?
I don't really know. It wasn't... what they had on, didn't really, and the chanting, and there were some things that happened subsequently in my life that I feel that this protected my soul from the evil I was going to encounter. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Mary, we all have these moments of clarity, even when we don't think we're psychic. We do get messages. And if I'm not mistaken, you had mentioned something in your email that you don't remember dreams usually.
No.
Is that?
No. No, this I had back in the late 80s.
And this is the only dream you actually remember?
This is the only dream, because it was so frightening, but... The next thing that happened to me, fast forward 6 to 9 months, and I was a probation officer for juveniles. I go to visit a client. I encounter a man at this home who, you know, in the families I dealt with, extended family was nothing. He asked me in. We had a conversation. I said, they're obviously the foster mother and the child. They're not coming home anytime soon. I've got to leave. Can I write a note? Yes, I'll put it on their bed. Okay. Little did I know that this man would be arrested 2 days later for 3 murders.
Mm-hmm.
One of a teenage boy, one of a teenage girl, and then another teenage boy.
Well, when that actually happened, were you brought right to the dream, like a deja vu?
No. No, it took me a while, and then later on, because of the job I did, I would meet various mental health providers who would service our clients, see our clients, and there was this one person that I met who was a psychologist, who I found out she had worked at the prison where this man had been held before, and he actually was put to death in the state of Maryland in 1994.
Okay.
Okay. And I said, well, did you have anything to do with this particular prisoner? She laughed. She said, oh, he was just crazy, 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 violent, evil man. And she said he was obsessed with the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Catholic. I'm Methodist. So, you know, some of this, it just was so bizarre. It took me
right.
years for it to come together for me.
Yeah, and that has become now your truth. And I'm not one to say that that's not exactly what that was about. There's no way for me to know the connection. You know it in your heart. Sometimes it is about something that's going on in your life at that moment, and there's no way that we can go back that far and really say what was happening in your life. But if you connected it to this and it rings true, then it's very good chance that that is true for you. I do believe spirit guides will come in.
Would my spirit guide have...
Oh, sure, yeah, and that's more of a spirit guide message than it is like a family member message, and that would be something where on your life map, as we were talking about earlier, you know, we have these pushpins on the map, and this was going to be a very traumatic moment in your life, and I'm sure it was, you know, this is like a...
It could have been an exit point, and I had young children.
Well, exactly. And that it was just more of you practice your faith, just keep practicing your faith, you know, and that was a protection for you. And I believe that we get these blessings of protection all the time. We're not always there to see it, but that could have been a spirit guide warning you, or it could have been a guardian angel protecting you, or both. You know,
well, it's just so bizarre. Yeah. And this man, after I had contact with him, he went on this crime spree, and at his trial, which took one day,
mm-hmm.
everyone said he was evil. I mean, they just called this man the devil, and I mean, people think that, you know, ghosts are evil and whatever. I think that we encounter evil on this earth.
There's plenty of evil on the earth.
We have to fight against it and protect our souls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just so, so bizarre. And when you got to talking about exit points, I'm just like, holy cow.
Yeah, it could be.
This
it could be.
Been, right. And you know what? You're saying you teach about dreams and whatever.
Yes.
Definitely. I think that I need to attend that.
Okay, well, you keep an eye on my website. I'm going to say that it'll probably be posted for February or March. One of those two months. So, and I would say that before Christmas, it'll be on the calendar, wherever it's going to be. All right. You can always just send me an email. All right.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Francine.
I'll look forward to talking to you then. Thank you for calling, Mary.
Okay. Sure. Bye.
Bye. And since we're on dreams, we do have another call, but I'm going to wait for just a minute because they're in the mailbag. I have actually two questions about dreams that I just want to hit right now. Stephanie asked, if we see a loved one that has passed in a dream, are they coming to us or are we just dreaming about them? Yes and yes. The fact is that we do have different reasons to dream. And some of them, like if it's a loved one has crossed recently, we may be dreaming about them because our brain just hasn't really wrapped its head around, you know, figure of speech, that we've accepted it. And there's still a processing to go, like, I can't believe this is happening. Your whole body's still in trauma and grief and loss, and we have to find ways to heal. So that is a body's way of healing. But at the same time, there are dreams that are actual visitations. Now, a lot of them, you know, sometimes it depends on the content, you know, if you really want to analyze it as to what was going on, because if there was a lot of symbolism, there's a better chance that it's a processing dream, you know, that's helping you process the situation. And if there is, or even just that they fit in the dream that you're doing in that context, or you may have thought of them in passing a couple days ago, and now they just fit in this dream that you had. They may not be the focus of the dream. But if there's a, if you wake up and you just have this feeling, oh my gosh, I just know my mother and I went shopping last night, you know, you just have that knowing, then there's a very good chance that that's the truth, that there was a visitation. So the answer is yes and yes. It just depends on the circumstances. Only you can decide which is which. But I hope that you had a little visitation, Stephanie. All right, thanks for that email. And finally on dreams, Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann wants to know, what does seeing a window appear in your dreams mean? A dream that I'm awakened when I open my eyes, I see my eyes, a window floats before me, and I don't see anything in the window. That's significant. Well, Ruth Ann, you didn't mention if the window was open or not, and that also can be significant, but there's definitely two meanings for this one. And which meaning it is, which is relevant to you, depends on what's going on in your life at the time. So, number one, a window represents an opportunity, you know, the window of opportunity. And it could be a window if it's half open. Maybe it's starting to open for you. Maybe you're entering a different phase in your life. What's going on in your life at the time? You have to look at that. Is there a new job opening? Are you ready to make change? Now, the other one is if, you know, the other one is also if it's open or not could be significant, but maybe not. But the other meaning can be you need to close a window before you can open a door. And they're reminding you of that. I'm hoping it's the first one, though, and that a window of opportunity is coming to you. Now, you know what? A lot of things you can weigh and measure when it comes to dreams as far as the details of the window. Was it dark? You couldn't see anything. But was it dark in there? Was it light in there? You know, was this a happy feeling about the window? Or was it kind of a gloomy, scary thing? You know, so that could really play into what interpretation, along with what's going on in your life, that would sort of play into that. All right? All right. Thanks, Ruth Ann. Okay, now, Ricky is on line 3 to talk about Reiki. Ricky, how are you?
Hi, Francine. I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you could call in.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Ricky, you are a Reiki. Reiki by Ricky. That's your business name, right?
Reiki by Ricky, Reiki Space and Learning Place.
Cool. Okay. Well, now let me ask you a question. Because, like, you know, you weren't really attracted to Reiki because of your name, right? I mean, it just works so well.
Well, I honestly, in retrospect, believe that that was no coincidence, that my name was kind of a wake-up call to my purpose, and that's why it works so well together.
Oh, that's very interesting. Were you called Ricky long before you ever heard of Reiki?
Well, you know, being a girl named Ricky was unusual to begin with, and I actually grew up wanting to change my name
because
I was put in boys' gym and boys' choir, and I received mail from the Army and Navy. Mr. Ricky Friedman.
Oh my gosh!
So I finally realized after all these years why I'm a girl named Ricky, and now I absolutely love it.
But,
and
you know,
I have thanked my parents.
And Ricky's actually an adorable name. Now that you're grown up, you want to stay young, right?
Yes.
Ricky, you're a Reiki master, correct?
I'm a Reiki master teacher, yes.
Okay. Now, can you tell us a little bit about Reiki? I know a little bit about Reiki, but can you tell the listeners what it is and how it actually works?
Sure. Well, Reiki is a very gentle and very deeply relaxing hands-on healing that was originally from Japan, primarily for stress management and balance. And it's actually part of energy medicine because, as you know, and your listeners know, we are all made of energy. So what happens during a Reiki session is that your body draws whatever energy that you need to help you be in a better place of balance. And when our bodies and our energy is balanced, we can do what we're designed to do, which is to heal naturally. So it's a very gentle, natural, safe process.
Very cool. Now, so how does it actually work in technique?
Okay, well, it's done on a massage table, but it is very different than traditional massage because of it being energy work. It's actually done fully clothed, and it consists of very gentle, light touch, as well as balancing in your energy field. And it's a very holistic head-to-toe session because sometimes where we experience symptoms, which are, of course, our body's messengers, isn't always where the source is. Sometimes the source is on the underlying mental, emotional level or stress or even an attitude. So Reiki works on your body as well as in your energy field to help you balance. And most people find it very peaceful and relaxing and either fall asleep or go to kind of a very deep meditative place where your mind just quiets and you can listen to what you need to hear for your own healing.
Very cool. Well, I got to tell you, I am actually a Reiki level 2, but oh my gosh, it's been years. I mean, you know, probably 15 to 20 years and I haven't had an attunement or a Reiki share. So you can imagine I'm pretty much not a Reiki.
Yes, you're probably ready.
Yeah, I'm probably not really a Reiki anymore. But I actually use this technique for healing, and I haven't done that for a long time. I think you just have to have a calling for channeling healing or channeling energy for information. But I don't think there's that much difference between you and I, really, because we're still channeling.
Well, everything is energy, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's still coming
ways of
through.
Tapping in.
But it's kind of like math or English. You know, usually a lot of times in school, it's like, which one do you favor more? I actually only even became Reiki because somebody that I knew didn't want to do it alone. So it was not. But you know, I really admire that. That's your passion. That's your calling. And just like I have my own. So that's very cool. Mm-hmm. So it, tell us what kind of this energy work can do for people. I mean, I know it's not going to be in place of a cast for a broken arm or, you know, but it can be complementary to certain allopathic medicines, yeah. Like maybe chemotherapy or something. But what is like the majority of people that they come from you? Because you're kind of doing a mind, body, and a spirit thing, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm personally a very big believer in integrative medicine. I'm a physical therapist by background, so I came from a very traditional healthcare practice. And I believe that every culture brings a piece of the truth of the whole for healing, and that's where holistic medicine comes from. So Reiki is really wonderful at getting to the underlying mental emotional stress level, which many times is the source of things that are going on in our bodies physically. Sometimes when you just treat the physical, you're removing the symptoms rather than the source. So when Reiki can get underneath to that source level,
right.
And you can really realize what's going on in your life, maybe things that you need to look at to move forward in a healthy way, then you can have really deep and true healing.
So
sometimes
just like
people come to
what
Reiki
we were talking
for
about.
Physical issues, and sometimes they come for stress-related issues. Sleep issues, anxiety, things like that are very much helped. And a lot of physical issues that traditional medicine can't quite get to, like fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, some of the arthritis conditions, where traditional medicine treats some of the symptoms, the inflammation and the pain, but really isn't getting to the underlying emotions. So Reiki
so it
is
actually
very good
pulls
for
it up.
Helping
I'm sorry
with that.
This actually pulls it up, right? It just pulls the layers and the reasons up. So you're not slapping a band-aid.
Right, and so, you know, sometimes Reiki works very gently by just kind of helping things process and release on their own, and sometimes Reiki will bring things to your attention that you need to look at in your life to move forward in a healthy way.
Now, do you do long-distance Reiki, too? I mean, and how
does
that...
Yes, I do. That's something, as you know, that you learn in Reiki Level 2. It's very similar to the idea of sending prayer, which is also healing energy, but this gives you a very focused tool. And it's a really empowering thing to know how to do, so that when there are people that are not physically with you that become ill, or situations like what's going on in the Philippines right now, that you have something very positive and loving to offer rather than going to the stress and worry place.
That's awesome. And actually, you can do this on yourself, I know. Do you teach others to do this as well, or you're a teacher?
I do. Yes, I teach all the different levels of Reiki class, and self-healing is the first thing that you learn. You learn how to feel and understand your energy, and then you learn how to use Reiki on yourself, because you've got to keep yourself filled up if you're going to be able to share Reiki in a healthy way for other people. I also teach Reiki for healthcare professionals and Reiki for kids.
That sounds great. Now, while I have you on the phone, go ahead and plug away. I mean, tell people how they can reach you and just give it.
Sure.
Go ahead, girl. Go give it.
Thank you. Well, again, it's called Reiki by Ricky, Reiki Space and Learning Place. And the actual physical address is 2793 Old Post Road, and that's in Harrisburg, right off of Lingolstown Road. I have a website. It's www.reikibyricky.com, and that's R-E-I-K-I-B-Y-R-I-C-K-I-E, reikibyricky.com.
And well, Reiki,
my phone number is
so
717-599-2299.
Say that number again,
717-599-2299.
Awesome. Reiki, thank you so much for being on. I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Have a peaceful evening.
You do the same, honey. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We have one more from the mailbag. And Sharon would like to know this. How come it is for people who go to a reading with a really good medium to get messages from a famous person that you didn't know in this lifetime? Does that happen frequently? I began seeing mediums in 2004, several years ago after my famous person passed, and he presents himself for almost every reading I have ever had. It's very exciting, and I can't begin to tell you how interesting it is. Anyway, I wanted to know how common this type of thing is. Well, I like this question because of my own experiences, actually. The short answer is I don't think it happens a lot, actually. Nor do I think all these famous dead celebrities come to specific quote-unquote chosen mediums. Now, with that said, I have had two clients who've experienced this in the past. With one of them, we did extensive readings together, and we did several readings. She did several readings with other people, and after a while, she was actually able to validate that there was a past life connection. And this celebrity had not died. If this person had not died so young, they actually would have met. It was not a love connection, but it would have been a media connection. And so that would have been very interesting. This was a very interesting case. So if you have not done so, Sharon, you might want to do some deeper exploration with a few different psychic mediums and continue doing that. And the reason that method really is preferred is that if one validates the same information, you can pretty much know that that's the truth. Also, some mediums don't pick up everything and the information that another might pick up. And that's not all really a matter of talent. It's just that they may be focused on other things in the reading. It's kind of like trying to find a station on an old transistor radio. You just never know which station's going to come up and how clear it's going to be. So thank you very much for that email. Okay. So before we close, I just want to mention the Ayoshi cards. And if you haven't gotten your free online reading yet, go to ayoshicards.com. That's ioshicards.com. And you can also reach that from a link in spiritnetwork.com. Problems in relationships, jobs, money issues, just simply ask a question, click on three cards, and get your answer. It's a very cool, like a magic eight ball. So until next time, I really appreciate, thank you very much all for who called in and emailed. Thanks so much for being my guest, and much love to you, all of you. Okay, bye.
You've been listening to Spirit Network Radio. For more information about the show, please visit spiritnetwork.com. For more information about your host, psychic medium Francine Milano, visit her website at francinemilano.com. Until next time, remember that peace begins with an open heart.